Okay, Chair Allen, the floor is yours.
Perfect, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Allen with Allen Property Group. Today is Thursday, March 18th. It is 9:02 a.m. We're going to go ahead and call the Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting to order. We are meeting, obviously, via teleconference. This is being recorded. We're going to start with establishing a quorum. Amish Patel. Terry Innes. Joan Solu. Nancy Dickinson. Nancy is not here. Chris Kosteka.
Here.
And I think that's everyone. So let's begin this moment by taking a moment of quiet and join me in a moment of silence here. Great, thank you for that. It's exciting. We actually have some substantive issues to talk about for the first time in months here. So we've got a full meeting agenda. We're going to get started with, please join me first for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one
nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My staff can see me through the windows on Zoom, and they're always wondering what I'm doing. I do look forward to meeting with you all in person sometime soon. Board member announcements. Does any board member have an announcement? Joan?
Yes, I want to announce, if we have any hoteliers listening, that you can now enter, have your housekeeping and janitorial and laundry staff enter into the lottery system through San Luis Obispo County, and they can now be vaccinated. They are eligible for vaccination. Please have your housekeeping, janitorial, and laundry staff get in there and get vaccinated. I have been volunteering at the vaccination sites. I have volunteered at all three vaccination sites, actually, the county ones, in San Luis Obispo. It is an easy process. It is going very quickly, and you are literally in and out of there probably within a half an hour to 45 minutes. Very, 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 very few people, if any, have had any kind of reaction to any of the vaccines, and I've seen all the different vaccines at these sites, so I encourage you all to do your duty and get in there and get vaccinated so we can get our lives back to normal. I can tell you that most of the people come in a little bit nervous, but they go out of their 15-minute observation area dancing because they're thrilled now that they can start to get their lives back. So please, if you have any staff that's interested or that has mentioned it to you, or post a sign by your time clocks or whatever you've got with the site where they can go register. It's really important.
Thank you, Joan. And right now that's just janitorial and housekeeping, correct? Not guests?
Housekeeping, laundry, or anyone who comes in contact with those types of items. So your housekeeping or laundry supervisor, if your rooms division manager helps strip beds on Sundays or something like that, they would be eligible. And they also, although I haven't seen it required, they may need a pay stub that shows that they work for your hotel.
But desk staff, can desk staff go in?
Excuse me, desk staff is not eligible right now.
Not eligible right now, okay.
But your housekeeping and laundry staff and janitorial staff are, because they come in contact with, as you know, items, Kleenex, all of the items that can expose you to COVID.
Got it. Thank you. That's positive. You know,
these small hotels like ours, our front desk staff do, like Joan said, help strip beds in the morning and help take the edge off on that 11 o'clock rush, you know, when everybody's checking out. So I think they do qualify also if your front desk does help in those capacities at all.
They do if they're crossover like that. If they assist in the laundry department, the janitorial department, and the housekeeping department, if they are doing those duties, it is those duties that they want these vaccines covered by. So get them in on that lottery system and get everybody on your staff, you know, taken care of. And also to help make your guests feel better, if at some point you can say 100% of our staff has been vaccinated, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Any other board member announcements?
I'll make a quick announcement. Cindy and I did buy the Anderson Inn, closed about 15, 16 days ago. We've gutted the hotel, not taking any guests until April 1st. We'll have a soft opening around April 1st and a re-grand opening April 15th. So if you're in the neighborhood, want to stop by and say hi, poke your head in, by all means, feel free.
Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
Any other board member announcements? Seeing none, any staff member announcements?
No announcements. Thank you, Chair.
Great. Okay, this brings us to the public comment period for any items, I believe, not on the consent agenda. AGP, do we have any public comment?
We do have one. Just a moment. I'll let Robert Davis in. And Robert, you should be able to speak.
Yes, hi. I wanted to say good morning and thank you all for meeting again today. Want to tell you again that City Council is very proud of the work that you are doing as you make that journey toward autonomy. And we value the recommendations that you bring to council. And just thank you very much.
Thank you, Red. And we appreciate your input and all the time you spend with TBIT as well. Okay, if there's no other public comment, AGP?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay, we will move on to our consent agenda. First item A1 is approval of the February TBID board meeting minutes. Did we all get a chance to review those in your package?
I did. I'll move that we approve those board meeting minutes.
Do you have a second?
A second.
Amish seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. A2, approval of the Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board members' request for an excused absence. Scott, do you want to speak to this?
Sure thing. Let me pull up my video here. Member Dickinson is asking for an excused absence from the March 18th, 2021 meeting. She had a conflict. Some of the boards need that. I think we've changed the policy recently where it used to go to council for approval, and some it may still be that case, but in this case, the TBID board would need to approve that. If it's unexcused, then it would make it hard for Ms. Dickinson to continue providing service to the community. As is noted in her email that she's attached, she certainly would love to continue serving through the transition, but of course, if we change direction or if the board changed direction, she's okay with that, but would like to continue serving. So this is important for her to do that.
Scott, do we have any explanation why Nancy's missing so many meetings?
I believe what's happened is she's teaching courses online, and on occasion they kind of conflict with the existing schedule of the TBID, and there's nothing she can do about moving those classes. It's part of a larger system that she operates in, is my understanding.
Does any board member feel strongly one way or the other, or have an opinion on this?
Before an opinion, I just say that I think we only have the April and May meetings remaining, or will June also be under our current system, Scott?
If there's a meeting in June, it would probably be a special. We will have wrapped up the conversion process by then, assuming everything goes smoothly. So there may be a need for a special just to sort of advise, like, what's going to happen. There's a lot of moving pieces, of course, but I don't believe there's anything scheduled this time for that.
And then at that time, will we be voting on board members at that moment?
Don't know. That's sort of our next step in the phase is understanding how that actually transpires. If it occurs on July 1st, when the new entity is formed and official and now in control of the funds, that's some of the work we were working on with Civitas. So it's a great question, and we'll have more information soon.
Nancy's fantastic, but you know, the way that preliminary discussions have gone, it could be a 7-member board with one community member. And since Joan doesn't own a hotel at the moment, she would be a fantastic community member to have on this new board.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, and no decision needs to be made today with regard to that. I think she was just tipping her hat that she understands that may go that direction. She's okay. But, of course, she would love to continue serving. So that's, again, not a decision that needs to be made today. And I don't know even if this TBID board is the one to decide, you know. Chris's question is a really good one as to how that gets done.
We have had criticism from, I guess, a member of TBID.
Prior TBID member, yes.
Well, he's a VR owner, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, Scott? I'm reading the background discussion, and I read this yesterday, and I probably should have emailed you, and I'm so sorry to ask you this at a meeting, but it says, attendance requirements are contained in each advisory body's bylaws, generally speaking, missing 3 consecutive regular meetings or 25% of the regular meetings during any calendar year period without formal consent of the city council. So does this get kicked to the city council automatically? Is that
no. It gets dealt with at this level. You know, and then ultimate removal would be a city council decision, though.
Now, considering that we only have 2 meetings left, folks, let's discuss the reality of this. The reality is we have April and May left, right? So let's pretend that Nancy had, or any one of us had resigned today. We have this open hole. Would we go out and seek another person for possibly getting them onboarded for 1 month of meetings? Probably not. So I think, you know, it's almost a moot point. I think, you know, Nancy says that she's cleared calendar. I really like Nancy. I think she's got great input. And so with the last two meetings left, you know, it's not my decision what the new board looks like. That's your decision, or all of our decisions together. And so, you know, it may or may not have a seat for Nancy or me or some other person at the table. So I think that, you know, she's cleared her calendar and off we go.
I believe we have a vacancy right now on the board we're not filling.
Right.
I was saying that I agree with what Joan's saying.
I agree as well.
So can someone want to make a motion on this?
I move that we, are we waiving the absence? What are we doing here? Excusing the absence for our present board meeting for Ms. Dickinson as requested.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Chris seconds. Any further discussion? Scott, do we need to take public comment on this or just vote?
I'm good to take public comment. I would check and see if there's anybody in the queue.
Okay. AGP, do we have anything?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then we're going to go ahead and vote. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so it looks to be unanimous that Nancy is excused from this absence, and we hope to see her at the next meeting. Moving on, business items, item B1, review of the STAR and the TBID fund budget report. Scott?
Yes, thank you, Chair Allen and committee members. We typically just provide you all with the graphs, and not the graphs, but the data, and then we have a discussion. But the previous meeting, the board had asked us to provide additional years for comparison purposes, particularly with the understanding that the coming spring months, when we look back to last year, are not really comparable. That was when COVID-19 first hit us, and really doesn't provide much context other than last year was a complete anomaly. So we've added an additional year for the TOT as well as the STAR report. What's important to note is with the STAR report, that does fluctuate in terms of which hotels are actually reporting. It's not a requirement. So it gives you a sense of a trend, but I wouldn't rely on it too much other than just to say it gives you some idea of how we're looking compared to previous years. So, and in addition to that, we did provide the budget report updated through early March because there are a number of items on the agenda today that have budget impacts potentially. So just looking at that, we have spent about $105,000 through the end of February for fiscal year 2021. Typically, this time of year, in a regular year, we would have spent, you know, five or six times that amount, maybe more, depending on where we are in our marketing cycle. So very, very underspending. We kind of anticipated that when we created the budget. So we will likely end the year on the current spend trend, including the Civitas contract, but not including anything that's on the budget today, or on the agenda today. We will probably end up with $190,000 in total expenses for the year, and I think we had budgeted about $550,000, so we'll be well underspent. In addition, we anticipated a revenue receiving about $550,000 in revenue for this fiscal year. Based on where the revenues are today and assuming a pretty conservative receipt for the remaining months of the year, we will probably land in the $800,000 range in total TBID assessment revenues. All this is to say is that you'll end the year with a significant fund balance, even if you accept all of the items today. You know, somewhere in the $500,000 to $600,000 range to move into the next fiscal year and the new iteration of TBID. So a pretty significant war chest from which to move forward from. So I just wanted to provide that context, but I'm happy to share my screen if that's helpful with the transit occupancy summary sheets and the STAR report if that's in favor of the board.
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Let me do that without hanging up. Okay. All right, so can you see the screen?
Yes.
All right, great. Let's make this a little bigger. All right, so what you're looking at here, top of the screen is fiscal year 2021, our current fiscal year. We have collections through the end of January. So disregard what you see in the February line item. Some people are early report. So basically, we have collected about $144,000 for the month of January in TOT. That compares to last year, $176,000. So not quite, you know, catching 2019-20 receipt levels. And if we scroll down, we can get a look at the previous year, which is 2018-19. The January month was $164,000. So what this shows is that last year we were doing really well. We were kind of gaining momentum as we headed into the new year. And then, of course, we know what happened with COVID. But I think it was a good request of the board to sort of look back and see how we were doing prior to all the mess that occurred last year. So I guess how I look at this now for January is that we were coming out of the closure or the regional stay-at-home order that was initiated in early December by the governor, and that was lifted in a portion of January. So I don't know what you all are experiencing in your businesses, but it seems like it's been pretty busy for the months of February and the few weeks of March that we've seen. Any questions or thoughts on the TBID TOT report?
Joan, you got a question?
Yeah, I do. Scott, can you... I would have to... the January numbers for, and all you hoteliers and vacation rental owners out there, plug your ears, but I'm the community member here, so I'm concerned about our RV parks. Did we, in January of this year, can you go to January of this year?
Yes. Our
January report, thank you. We're scrolling down. If you look at our January report and you go across, you see that they only collected $67,000 in revenue. Is somebody not reporting? Because that's less than half the revenue from the previous year. Did we lose an RV park? Is somebody remodeling one? Is there some reason why our transient RV sales have fallen off?
I think I think they took their cue from the governor's order. The state closed down their campgrounds as well during that period of time. So I believe
the state doesn't contribute to our TOT.
Understood. Oh, no, I understand. I'm just saying the RV parks took their cue from the state parks and closed their businesses down.
They did.
Yes.
In January.
Yeah, and parts of a good portion of December and a good portion of January they were closed.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why those numbers.
Some of them were closed.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're operating in the early parts of December, and they were operating in the later parts of January. But for a significant portion of that time, they were all closed. So that, other than those that provided long-term shelter, because some of these have more than a 30-day stay, you know, that's housing. But the vacation component of it was shut down as far as.
Okay. Can I ask you this question? What was the date that the city started their RV spaces?
Yeah, we reinitiated that in, I want to say, maybe the third week of January, fourth week of January. I'll have to go back and look.
Well, I don't need the exact date, just to get an idea, because I'm wondering, because they're going to start contributing to TOT, right?
Oh, they always have. They've always have done TOT.
Right.
And will continue to do so. And same with the TMD, but not the TBID.
Right. Yeah. So we should start seeing a bump in that number. But wow. But vacation rentals performed. So I just couldn't figure out why the RV parks weren't performing. You know. Okay. Thank you.
Good question.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that TBID has funds, but we also have not been advertising or paying a lot for, you know, employment costs. Do we know if other municipalities around San Luis Obispo are now advertising since the county is in the red tier?
I can't speak to specifics other than I know SoCal has initiated a pretty significant advertisement spend. I would assume that other entities are, but I can't say specifically if they are. This is my belief is they probably are by now.
But the responsible marketing is more advertising open spaces, campgrounds, hiking, things like that, I believe,
correct,
what I've seen.
Yes, yes. And you know, but I believe their paid components have been turned on. I think everybody rightfully did, you know, took a pause at when the new order was in place in December. But since the movement has been in a really positive direction, that's changing. And I believe SoCal's approach will be to be more action-oriented to try to convert people to stays, you know, in the near term. Because a lot of our, at least the North County and other portions of the county, you have a lot of ground to make up. Unlike Morro Bay, we did pretty okay during the last summer. And, you know, because wineries were closed and other things like that, those portions of the county took a big beating and sort of trying to make up for that soon as quickly as possible in a responsible way.
A follow-up question, somewhat unrelated, but I think it's relevant based on the other items we're going to be discussing this morning. In terms of the Third CARES Act and stimulus for local governments, what does the city of Morro Bay expect to receive in terms of funding?
Yeah, good question. What was ultimately signed by the president is about $1.98 million to the city of Morro Bay. The uses of those funds are pretty pretty open, I think intentionally, partially to, you know, address revenue shortfalls, can be used for infrastructure projects like water, sewer, and broadband, you know, can support the community, can help offset PPE costs, et cetera. So it's, we're still learning, you know, what the rules are, as is every other city, because we don't want to screw this up, right? You know, we did suffer some big losses last year, as did a lot of our businesses. So, we're trying to be mindful of that. So the process by which, we would, you know, delegate those funds would come through the budget process. We won't receive the funds probably until June or July of this year. They're going to do it in two phases. The first half will come June, July this year. And then I believe 12 months later, the second half of that will come to the city.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions, comments for Scott on the budget? Terry?
Sorry, Terry, can't hear you.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that.
I just wanted to find out, Scott, you may or may not know, but it looks like the numbers are doing really well, and we may be on target to go to the orange tier. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, there's three metrics by which counties are held accountable. It's the case rate, and it's somewhat complicated, not terribly complicated, but it's based on your average rate of infection, and then over a certain period of time. And then there's the number of tests that are conducted. And then there's an equity measure in terms of, you know, disadvantaged communities, and are they disproportionately feeling the effects of COVID versus the non-disadvantaged portions of your community. All three of those are sort of averaged together. Our understanding is in the next couple of weeks, perhaps, if the movement continues in the direction it's been going, we could be into the orange, which allows for greater capacity within, or occupancy within, indoor outfits like restaurants and retail and movie theaters and the like. But the next, to get to like kind of really reopening, we think of big things like events. I think we have to be almost out of the entire tier system to get there. But it is moving in a great direction, and we're all obviously hoping that you slow the rates of infection down and you ramp up the rate of vaccination, that you can get ahead of the curve so we don't experience what Europe is going through right now, which it seems several countries are gone back into closure mode.
And at what tier are vacation rentals allowed to rent to non-essential workers?
Yeah, I mean, basically you're in that position now.
Okay.
When you drop into red, even portions of purple, so, yeah.
Any other questions, comments for Scott on the budget?
Chris, you're muted.
So there we go. A general question that doesn't need an answer right now that we as a board have to start considering is, when do we want to start, you know, advertising? And we may be in a fantastic position that with the built-up desire for travel and coming into spring and summer season, that we may not have a need to extensively advertise for this season. And maybe, again, the hoarding funds are strategically planning for the fall and into winter and into next year. I don't know if today's the day for that discussion, but soon we got to kind of make those decisions on, you know, do we focus towards fall and shoulder season and winter, or do we aggressively advertise with our, you know, war chest of funds this summer?
That's a great question, Chris. We do have an item in this agenda that starts to nibble at that question. It's more of a dip your toe in the waters versus a full-fledged marketing effort. Partially because we want to make sure we don't fall behind. I think your point is apropos that we likely will have significant visitation this summer. The summer may start in April, you know, with spring break, and maybe there's no relenting until October. It's hard to say for sure, but yeah, that was typically the approach of TVET in the previous years, where you sort of reserve funds and really start your marketing in the summer for the fall. That's a good question. But what's being proposed in the later item today is more of a, like I said, dip your toe in the water and get the ball rolling, because you don't want to lose your space in line in terms of your social media, like being in people's feeds, and also, you know, search engines, you know, those things. It's not necessarily saying you got to come today, but it's keeping that more of a as a destination for future in mind.
Chris, some of the other bids associated with their marketing is really pre-baked right now. They have the plan, and the second that the tier color changes, they release this marketing that's already prepared, so it's less of a shotgun trying to catch up approach. But a lot of these groups have it planned out based on transitioning and things improving.
Yeah, and another item, it sort of talks about that today, talks about that transition, right? Not necessarily marketing, but the overall transition from city to nonprofit and how you keep the momentum going.
Any other questions, comments on the budget? Amish, anything? Okay.
Can you hear me? It's going to be definitely interesting because as we look at December's numbers and how the stay-at-home order really affected business, moving forward, it worries kind of just how this will play out, especially if they're talking about how COVID's going to be kind of like a seasonal flu. So I don't know how that would affect marketing if in future dates they'll issue more stay-at-home orders as we move into the fall season, as that's typically once the flu season starts ramping up. But based off of the other boards that you sit on, what kind of marketing efforts are they putting in that you could give us an insight on?
Question for me. Yeah, again, it's kind of what we talked about before. It's responsible marketing. For example, when we transition to red, it's advertising the open spaces, the parks, you know, trying to just remind tourists of the attributes of the area. You know, it's a very fine line, as Scott can attest to, is you don't really want to insult the residents and bring tourists in too quickly, and you have to be cognizant of, you know, their feelings and desires, but you also want to, you know, like we talked about, you know, keep Morro Bay relevant, and, you know, we're competing with other destinations too as things open up. So it's a delicate balance, but I think it's planned responsible marketing based on what's allowed in the current tier.
Okay. And Morro Bay typically hasn't done any marketing over the summer months. Based on the other boards that you've said, do you think they've put more emphasis on that just because of the bad year that we had going previously? Or have they kind of stayed on par with marketing plans they've done over the years?
It's kind of a different market from what I've seen, but I think we really need to analyze what our competitors are doing. You know, what is Slo, what is Pismo doing? You know, and then have a discussion, you know, based on that. That's my opinion. But Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, the city really doesn't want TBID to necessarily do any marketing at this time, correct?
Well, the city's position is, you know, we expect we'll have pretty strong visitation this summer, almost regardless of what we do. And because, you know, a lot of ways, whether other locations are restricted or not, I think there's still a mindset that will only be overcome when people feel comfortable on their own, not what the government tells them, but what they feel comfortable doing. So I think that what that means is drive markets will still be a major beneficiary of, if you will, of, or somehow will thrive a little bit more than some of the other spots. But I am concerned with the same notion that you have, Chair Allen, about if you don't do any work, do you fall behind? You know, and you can still be careful in terms of what that actual marketing material looks like, right? But still be putting forth the effort. I think that's sort of the sort of where we're trying to go with what we're going to recommend in the later item today.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments on the budget? Okay. We don't need a motion or anything.
No. Unless you know, there was any. We got great input from you all last time, and appreciated that. So we brought back a different set of information. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be good to know if this was helpful for you all, and if any other input.
Good, John.
Definitely like the 3-year view for the next probably 12 months.
Great.
Or maybe the next 24 months.
Great.
So it plays out. Yeah.
Okay, great. Then we will move on to the Morro Bay Beautiful request for funding to support the Dowdle puzzles.
Comment.
Oh, we have a comment.
We got to ask for public comment.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, good point. Thanks, Heather.
Anything, AGP?
No, sir. We don't at this time.
I'm psychic that way, Heather. B2, Morro Bay Beautiful request for funding for the puzzle creation, Morro Bay specific puzzle. Scott, you want to give some details on that?
Yes, absolutely. And we do have Miss Reisner here. It's been promoted to a panelist member if there's any questions for her. But we are recommending that TBID consider the request from Morro Bay Beautiful or MBB for $5,000 to support the creation of a Dowdle puzzle for Morro Bay. I think we attached in the packet of a photo of one of the puzzles. They make a lot of different location puzzles, but they try to be considerate in terms of who they select. That it has to be memorable and something that, you know, consumers are going to want to purchase. These would be sold locally and nationally after the first year of its creation, and we are seeking your thoughts on this. Morro Bay Beautiful is a local beautification group. They've done a lot of excellent service, provided excellent service to our community. You know, a lot of times the city doesn't have funds to do these extra things that make a big difference for folks in terms of, you know, trash can enclosures that, you know, turn something ugly into something beautiful, looking at how we design our parks and actually having oversight of some of the areas that we can't get to. They've done a lot of great work over the years, and we really appreciate them for that. I attached the letter from Ms. Reisner, who's the president of MBB, that outlines the request. In short, they're looking to commission, in the process of commissioning, a Morro Bay specific puzzle through Dowdle. Dowdle is the artist who actually does, you know, creates these beautiful images of locations. And they sell millions of puzzles a year through major retail outlets like Costco. Part of the line of business, again, is a place specific puzzles. They retail for about $25 a piece, according to the research I've done. And they've been brought on by MBB at a cost of $40,000 to create that Morro Bay specific puzzle. They will be coming into town, obviously doing their own research prior to that, speaking with locals and businesses and city staff to make sure that they're what they create really captures the essence of Morro Bay. He then goes off on his own and creates the artwork. And then Morro Bay Beautiful will have a 1-year exclusive right to that puzzle in terms of where it gets retailed and how, and receiving of the funds that, that gets generated at those sales. So Morro Bay Beautiful is fundraising locally to help offset some of those costs. That is, $40,000 is a lot for a nonprofit. They're working with local businesses who would be able to get their name or recognition in the puzzle, for their efforts. The belief is that these will probably retail for the next 15 to 20 years. So that sort of gives you a sense of what the return on investment would be, because if they're sold around the world, people see Morro Bay, they'll buy the puzzle, and then they'll build the puzzle and think about Morro Bay the whole time they're doing that. So it's a pretty unique opportunity to have a long-lasting marketing effort for the T-Bid. So like I said, Ms. Reisner and husband Ron are available to answer any questions that you have, but we believe this is a pretty modest investment for something that could have a long-term benefit for T-Bid and the community. So happy to answer any questions, of course, Ron and Ian as well.
Thank you, Scott. I personally love the idea. We'd love to have some of these puzzles in our hotels, and I could see them in the VRs too. Mr. and Mrs. Reisner, are these marketed nationally, or where will they be sold?
Okay. They're produced by the Dowdle DOWDLE Folk Art Company, based upon the original artwork of Eric Dowdle. They are marketed internationally. They have suggested that they would probably start with a national plug it into their national marketing program and then extend it out internationally. There were, according to the game and puzzle industry statistics, U.S. revenue in 2021 is projected for puzzles alone out of the game industry is projected to be close to $700 million. Dowdle has, for the last several years, sold $1 million worth of puzzles a year.
Thank you. And do we know what the picture will be of? I'm assuming it's the rock in a cityscape.
I sent a letter because I was very interested in having input on the puzzle. I feel very strongly about who Morro Bay is for me. So if you can picture a picture and follow this, that would be great. In the sky, there are hang gliders, cormorants, seagulls, peregrine falcons, pelicans, and great blue heron. Because we're a bird sanctuary. This is what I sent to the Dowdle Company. In the bay, there are stand-up paddle boaters, kayakers, sometimes with their dog. I think that would be cute. Fishing boats, tourist boats, sailboats, and our harbor patrol. There are always sea lions and sea otters in the bay. The rock, Morro Rock, is a big tourist attraction that can be seen for quite a distance. Our trolleys run through Morro Bay through Labor Day, which is our main tourist season. Jack LaLanne chose to live here with his wife, Elaine LaLanne, who is a friend and still resident of Morro Bay Beautiful. We have a state park at one end of town with campgrounds, a museum, golfing. In the ocean, there are pier sailors. And then in their thing, they asked me for a focus on Morro Bay. And to me, the focus would be health, beauty, fun. And that's what I'm trying, to project in the puzzle.
That sounds beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Board, any other questions for Mr. and Mrs. Reisner?
I have one. I can remember my first question. I remember the second one. How many other communities along the Central Coast have produced a puzzle? That's question one. And question two is, my belief is, do you not have a one-year exclusive rights, we as a community, to sell the puzzle locally before it goes for sale retail nationally? Isn't it held by us as a community first and foremost? Am I correct in that?
Yeah, so we do have a one-year exclusive. Actually, they tried to talk me out of it after they found out who Morro Bay was. I've been dealing with them since last September, so there's been ups and downs and so forth. But we have, I decided we have to have that first-year exclusive. And so we will be the only one selling this puzzle, and it will get a lot of recognition. What was your first question? I forgot.
Other communities in the Central Coast that have these puzzles?
Oh, Yeah, Solvang. When I talked to them, they said Solvang is one of their biggest sellers. Usually a puzzle stays on the market from 10 to 20 years. Solvang has stayed on more than 10. So it's doing very well. They've done Monterey Bay, several puzzles, because you can do it from different vantage points.
Joan, you had a question?
In other words, TBIT has the opportunity to be there before Pismo and before Shell Beach and before all those other people. So be first or be last.
So you're saying we can't afford not to. You're a good salesman, Ron.
Exactly.
All right. Go ahead, Joan.
Listen, I know these two personally, and they're always a hard sell. Nothing ever comes easy with these two. But let me tell you, I like the idea of this because I like puzzles. There's a lot of fans of puzzles. If I still owned a hotel, these would probably be available at my front desk. I don't know if they'd be available in every room. If you have a larger hotel, your housekeeping staff would want to kill you. But, you know, it's something to consider, right? I'm curious, though, and we have a very, and Ron, we have a very, very large blue economy here. Our blue economy, obviously, is the edge of the water is the tourism side of it. And then in the water is the aquaculture. Is there any, when you say that there's going to be a picture of the rock and the in the bay. In the bay, are we going to put maybe the oyster farming is really a big deal here. We farm over 1.5 million oysters out of our bay annually. And then the sea otters, I didn't hear you mention the sea otters, which is part of our blue economy. And then in terms of the sky, is there any potential to have kites or any way to highlight some of our major festivals that have happened through the year, like maybe the Kite Festival or the Avocado? I don't know if there is. And then some of the things that happen on the beach, like surfing, were surfers going to be highlighted?
No, the surf. In there, I think a major draw, and we're going to do a tour soon. Eric Dowdle is coming to town, and we're going to tour the harbor, and we're going to show them the sea lions and the sea otters. The oysters, it's a matter, Ron has brought that up, and I think it's an excellent idea, but it's a matter of who will step up and want to be on the puzzle. And you were talking about festivals and stuff. I don't think we can, I mean, I don't want the puzzle to be too cluttered. It needs to have, just my list is a lot. Eric Dowdle will come here and he has to, if you've dealt with artists before, we have to give him some leeway of how,
of course,
how he wants to do it.
I am curious because on the tourism side of this thing, the number one reason why Californians, which is who we're going to be marketing to get our economy back, and I understand this goes over 20 years, but the number one reason why folks travel within this western region is to visit a beach, and whether that's a lake beach like Lake Tahoe or the beach of Morro Bay or the beach at Pismo Beach, you know, the number one reason is to travel to a beach, the body of water, and that's why most people travel. So I would love to see, and I'm just throwing this out there as a catch net, somehow the beach side of it highlighted too, because that's a huge deal for us. Our name says Bay, but we have this 4-mile stretch of beach, and we're going to increase that by getting control of Dog Beach soon. And you know, I know you're a dog lover. You have a whole dog scene going on here. So there's a million ways you can market Morro Bay. Yes, it's the artist's perception of what's going on here, but if there's any way we can highlight some of those tourism things, that would be just totally incredible.
So am I hearing that right? What you want is an event on the puzzle?
No, just a way of, like, I'm looking at this Chattanooga photo, and it just has kites in the sky. Has the same kites in the sky that Morro Bay actually has visits. So they must have a kite festival. That's where I'm going with this in their mind. Or they have great you know, wind scene and that kind of thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to have the kite festival or whatever on there, but just some type of reference, I guess, is what I'm looking for. It was just a question. Will there be any reference to any one of our major festivals somehow, I guess, is what I was asking.
Okay, well, we can think about that. Ron has a little bit of an overview of our project. Could he do that next? It's just a couple paragraphs.
Sure, that should be fine.
Oh, Scott did a fine job.
He did, and I appreciate him remembering everything.
A very generous staff report, actually. Unless you folks have had them in your hands, it's hard to appreciate what a quality item this is, because I think that's important. Most people think about puzzles as a flat box that's, you know, 4 cubits by 9 cubits and an inch thick. But this is a super quality product. It's packaged with a nice artwork. It's got the sleeve comes off. There's this great box with compass and islands on it. You open it up inside, packaged puzzle, and probably one of the most important things in terms of it as a marketing tool is that it has this depiction of the puzzle in it, and on the back of it are listed and keyed to the puzzle picture itself locations within the city, or within the image, let's put it that way. So it's a quality product. One of the puzzle industry, or I should say the game industry research outfits, Grandview Research, puzzle sales in 2020 internationally were projected to be $6 billion, that's with a B, dollars. That was doubled because of COVID, and they're projecting in 2027 $19 billion worth of puzzle sales. So the point being that it's a popular thing. And also, these are collectible. We didn't know it when we started building. I mean, we've been building down to puzzles. Well, we built two a week last year, but setting that aside, our immediate neighbor has been collecting these things for 20 years. It's pretty remarkable. But the key concept, and then I'm done, the key concept for More Bay Beautiful is that this project would create a powerful long-term tourism tool for Morro Bay while generating sustaining income for Morro Bay Beautiful.
Ron, is it accurate, Scott's estimate, that these are going to retail for about $25?
Anne's the money lady. So.
$24.95.
Okay.
Carrie, you have a question? Yeah. Do you have any idea? First of all, I want to thank you for your work, Morro Bay Beautiful. So important. We really, really appreciate it in the community. But I wanted to know if you have any projections of what you will net to Morro Bay Beautiful per year or overall.
No. I've asked the company kind of that question. They said 110,000 to as much as 250,000. Now, I don't know what period they're talking about, but I just wanted to get some idea. So that's the number they threw at me.
Right. Well, it definitely sounds like a win-win for all involved here. Do we want to entertain a motion here, Board?
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. One of the things I love about it is that it doesn't have to be translated into any other. It's a kind of a document that hangs out that expresses who Morro Bay is, but it doesn't have to be translated into 80 other languages, right? It just goes on continually for 20 years. It's a photo. But I love it. I think it's great. So they're requesting $5,000. I think, you know, we have enough money there, and we haven't really, you know, done any marketing this year, so I'm into fully funding it. I'm going to float a motion to see if I can get a second to fully fund their request at $5,000.
I need to take public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go.
Thanks, Heather, again.
Thank you, Heather. AGP, do we have any public comment?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor from Joan. Do we have a second?
I second.
Terry seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Well, congratulations. Motion passes. And thank you both, Mr. and Mrs. Reisner, for your work. And we look forward to seeing the finished product.
Right. Okay. There was a part two to this, and you can just mull it over. The money is good. Thank you very much. We want you to promote the puzzle. We need TBID's backing to promote the puzzle, either through the visitor center or whatever. But if you could help us with that, that would be great.
We could figure out how to do that. You know, as I mentioned to you, Ms. Reisner, you know, we're going through that transition process, you know, for a nonprofit to take it over. But we anticipate there'll be folks who are participating on this end will be on the other end as well, and we can see what we can do as far as our website or other locations. We currently don't have a functioning visitor center due to COVID, but there are probably other opportunities for doing that. But we want to make sure that was, sorry I didn't put that in the motion, but make sure that's okay with the board.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we could probably send out the information to our hoteliers, and, you know, me for one, we'd be happy to sell the puzzle in our lobby. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not making the puzzle not to promote it. You know,
absolutely.
It makes sense.
Okay, thank you both.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's great. That was good, Scott. You need to find more things like that.
Oh, thank you.
B3, review options for improvements to public trash and recycling receptacles of public restrooms management in the Embarcadero and Morro Rock parking lot areas.
Great, thank you. My hat's off to Mr. Pisteca for bringing this up as an item. So what we're recommending is that the TBID board recommended the council hiring additional part-time consolidated maintenance workers to assist with trash and public restroom service on the Embarcadero Morro Rock parking lot areas during the peak season, which, as I mentioned in the last item or a couple items ago, we think that's going to start in April as opposed to June, and probably run through October of this year, and splitting the cost between the TBID fund and the general fund and provide additional recommendations as appropriate. The overall fiscal impact of adding another part-time member to the city team is about $15,000 to $25,000for the whole year. And we're recommending $10,000 for TBID and the rest, which will probably be a little bit more from the general fund. TBID would cover April, May, and June, so there's no ongoing commitment for the next board. And then the city would pick up for the rest of those months, which would be July, August, September, October, and potentially into November, depending on what our weather is like this year. As you all know, we don't need to explain this. We've seen a significant growth of visitors over the last several years, and even with COVID. Last year, we had a significant number of visitors in the summer months. It's created great things and also some concerns from residents, from business owners, from the city. A lot of that is, you know, you get a lot of visitors and they come in a short period of time. Maybe they only come on the weekend, and it overwhelms some of our city services, particularly trash and restroom service. That was only exacerbated by COVID-19 with the advent of takeout only, when restaurants could not provide indoor service, people still need to eat. Things came packaged, you know, a lot more trash generated. Unfortunately, we've been making a lot of strides in recycling and all that, and that's sort of thrown out the window with the collapse of the Chinese market, as well as with COVID-19 everything being takeout. And our trash receptacles can take things in certain respects, but if they're not piled and squished down, they become overfull quickly. And then human behavior takes over. One person stacks their trash on top of a trash can, and the next person does it, the next person does it, the next person does it. And you get a seagull mixed in there, and then you have a big problem on your hand. When it could have been just 10 minutes ago, a maintenance worker had come by to clean it up, and then you have another problem. So, basically, our approach last year was to throw as much resources as we could at it. That included more roll-off dumpsters, and had larger receptacle area where nobody had to touch anything. Just throw it in there nicely. And, you know, avoid the cootie factor, which seemed to work pretty good, but they were very expensive. But we needed to do what we could. We added hand washing stations. We added more porta potties and the like. And then we also launched the Trash Hero program to try to get at that human factor. Make sure we have enough capacity and then address the human factor by encouraging people to do the right thing. And also reward our community members, and many of whom come out on the weekends in the early morning hours to clean up after our guests. We're very blessed that we have a dedicated crew of volunteers, but the key there is not to rely too much on them, because they become jaded, understood, if the city's not also investing on our end. And so we really appreciate the fact that TVA is even considering this investment. So what we're recommending, I think the best way to approach this is to enhance the marketing effort that we had launched last year with Trash Hero Program. We're linking up with the county, because this is occurring throughout the entire county, particularly places like Pismo and Cayucas, to further broadcast that message of doing the right thing, but also adding more staff. Because really, it's the Disneyland model that's going to win here. It's putting as many people on it as possible so that it doesn't have time to pile up, if you will, and present those photographs that nobody wants to see. So what we're recommending, again, is that TBIB would pick up an additional staff member or two's part-time salary for the April, May, and June months. We just hired somebody last week, and we hopefully can go back to those who weren't selected and pick up a couple more that we can put out on the weekends. In order to make these jobs marketable, we need at least 20 to 24 hours per individual per week. And so we try to bundle them on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shifts, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday shifts, to make it marketable for those folks. If you have your scattered throughout the week, then they can't link that up with another part-time job to make it affordable to live wherever they do in the county. So we've experienced that in the past, where we try to get a little too cutesy on the hours and haven't been able to keep people on. So that's what we'd recommend doing. Again, we greatly appreciate TBIB bringing this to our attention, and also understanding that we want to invest in our community, and we also want our visitors to have a good experience and not leave feeling like the city's not taking care of itself, and maybe, you know, creating that bad image that we don't want. So we're again looking for that support for that recommendation to take the city council at the next council meeting next week, Tuesday. So happy to answer any questions you have. And I also linked up with my colleague Jim Lewis, city manager of Pismo, and they presented a similar report to their council in January, and they came to similar conclusions. They looked at all different types of trash can models and found that there's not one particular one that works better than the other. Seagulls become a problem no matter what if the human factor comes into play. In other words, if people stack their stuff outside of a trash can, seagulls are going to get at it. So if your trash can design doesn't get to that, really the best way to address that is to encourage people to throw things away properly, and also for staff to get there quickly. And so we're even looking at maybe buying a golf cart setup, because, you know, the certain Sundays or Saturdays, the traffic can line up pretty stacked from Beach Street all the way out to the Rock. And you can get an emergency cruise through there, but it's harder to get a trash crew through there. So we think maybe we can use a golf cart to get, you know, use the a different path to get there to be able to clean on more quickly and efficient basis. So happy to answer any questions. Again, appreciate Chris bringing this up as an item and looking for support on this recommendation.
Thank you, Scott. Board, any comments, questions on the recommendation?
Scott, if I can just piggyback on what you were saying there and ask a couple of questions within there. One, I want to get your belief on how functional this is going to be. If we're going to spend money, do we feel this will be really effective? You know, do we have a manager who can think outside the guidelines? Like, you know, you mentioned before, they get stuck at the Rock, and that's important. They get the Rock, but then
right,
the end of the Embarcadero or Main Street, is, you know, trash is going horrible. So that functionality. And two, just to reiterate again that I don't believe, as T did, this will become any type of normal function for us. Again, I think we're all in agreement, unless someone says different, that our funds are to be spent on marketing to bring people out. And this is just kind of an emergency measure, so be it, on a marketing side, of not repelling the guests that we do get that have not come to Morro Bay before and don't realize that typically Morro Bay is not a dump, but now looks like a dump if we don't do this.
Right. Yeah, your first question is a good one, and I believe we have a really strong manager overseeing consolidated maintenance. Consolidated maintenance is serving those. The more visible are obviously those who dress the restrooms and trash, but the same team deals with potholes, the same team deals with sidewalk smoothing, the same team deals with lighting, the same team deals with trees, parks, etc. So our team is lean and mean, we get a lot done, and we have a great manager, Matt Bishop, who oversees that operation. I'm interviewing two finalists for the Public Works Director position today and tomorrow. So I believe between the two of them, they're both exceptional humans and managers, and they will be able to step in soon to help Matt kind of really think through that question, Chris, how to reimagine the deployment of resources and people and maybe create zones so they don't have to move from one side to the other, right? Because that's that movement in the car, which is creates that inefficiency. So perhaps a golf cart could accomplish that, or maybe it's zones or some other scheduling mechanism to get it done more efficiently. But our goal is to produce results. Now, that's not to say there'll never be a trash issue, right? I mean, it happens. But we want to be more responsive and make sure that's an anomaly, not a regular occurrence like it was last year.
Any other questions, comments, Joan?
Yeah, I appreciate the staff report, and I appreciate all the work talking to the PISMO, your counterpart in PISMO Beach. I am curious, though, on what the city is anticipating for prolonged use of the sidewalks as takeout areas. In other words, right now we're in the red tier. We could be moving to the orange tier. How long are we going to be, for example, and because it's easy and we've all been down there, I'm going to use Giovanni's. Giovanni's has expanded his footprint into his parking lot, and he's got probably 15 or 20 tables down there, but I've only seen two trash cans. Is the city, if it continues moving forward, in order to permit those kinds of things permanently, are we going to start using a matrix for trash can to table ratio for takeout? Because if we did that, some of that would be back on those guys. There's only two trash cans for, you know, seating for 100 people down there, and that's just not sufficient. And it's not just Giovanni. There's some areas where there's those takeout tables where you take your takeout. There's no trash cans that the restaurateurs are providing, and I'm not throwing them under a bus or anything. I'm just trying to find if we continue down this road, and the seasonal flu, COVID-wise, becomes a reenactment year after year after year, then some matrix needs to be developed for a ratio. So the question, I guess, is how long do we anticipate those areas causing us this type of trash exposure? And then secondly, let's see. Yes, is there anyone out there who can help us develop a matrix for the trash can to table seating ratio?
Good question. Both good questions. I crystal balling it, I think the next couple summers are going to be looking like last summer. Maybe not quite as significant in terms of takeouts, but I think that was always sort of been a preference for folks. I think Giovanni is probably a good model. I think they handle their business because it's contained. I think the same is true for Little Hut or Harbor Hut area. They have a lot of trash cans over there. But there probably are some other areas where it's not any fault of anyone's. It's sort of the design, right? And it's one of the goals or action items the council identified through this temporary goal. We created a temporary city goal for the COVID response.
And one of the items is to work with restaurants to ensure that you have sort of equal share of this issue. And they recognize it. And some of them had the best years they've ever had last summer, right? So I think they understand that. But, you know, it's sort of the designs. If you put trash cans in the way of people's walkways, then that creates other issues in our ADA access. So I think that's an excellent point. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a feature for at least a couple of years, and we are going to work with the restaurants to try to ensure that we work together in a collective system to make it work.
I think what they're doing the best they can in a really bad situation. I'm just wondering if we move this way to the future, that becomes permanent, then we have to help spread the solution out. The other thing I would say to you is, I don't know how the board feels about this, but I'd be willing to have some of our TBID money go towards the purchase of a permanent mobility solution for our trash crew. In other words, I know golf carts cost somewhere around, let's say, $5,000. I'd be willing to see the TBID go up to maybe half of it, $3,000 or something like that, to get that golf cart there and get a permanent solution going. Because it does affect our guests. It affects our tourism. It affects how we present ourselves. And, you know, I'd be willing to go a little higher than just the staff level, only because I see this being a permanent solution, so if we fix that mobility problem now in the future summers, this isn't going to come back around and bite us every summer. That's just my thoughts.
Any other comments, questions, Terry?
I would just ask, are they only going to be concentrating on trash cans, or will they also do general pickup of, you know, things floating around, things going towards the bay, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, as much as they can, there's obvious stuff, but they there's like 65 trash cans or something. Some are managed by Morro Bay Garbage, which is our trash hauler, which is a contractor. But a lot of them we manage ourselves, so they're trying to fly through and get those, you know, take up the empty them and put in new bags and also clean the restrooms at the same time. So yeah, if it's in the vicinity of the trash can, yes, they clean it up. But if it's, you know, outside that area, it's hard to get to those. And that's where we are so thankful for our volunteers who spend time. I mean, they've been doing it long before COVID was a thing, right? They did it before it was cool. As one of our council members said, you know, and because it's an ethos of our community. We would love to be able to absolve them of that need. But, you know, just based on where we're at, we really have to focus on turning those trash cans over and restrooms over as quickly as possible.
Well, going back to your Disneyland model, I was thinking, you know, having someone down there that's constantly strolling up and down with the stick and,
right,
you know, that kind of thing, just to make sure that it's not going into the ocean, because we know how quickly that can happen and we don't want to pollute our bay.
Right. And Ms. Sullivan mentioned, and it's also in the PISMO staff report, is they use Achievement House. You know, they have a contract for that, and they use them on the weekends or during the week, because you have to have a manager out there. There's very specific protocols for that, but that could be something we look into. It's an opportunity, you know, they get paid to do it. It's a great opportunity for folks who are, you know, disabled or whatever to have gainful employment. So that's one thing we probably look at beyond our volunteers who do an exceptional job.
Great. Thank you. Amish, any thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Chris. I think keeping Morro Bay clean by itself is a really good marketing effort to show to all of our visitors that we are in a dump. I also agree with Joan in the sense that I think restaurants should have more stake in keeping Morro Bay clean as well. And I want to explore the idea of having an X amount of waste receptacles dependent on the seating that they're providing as to decrease this issue, especially on a longer term. And I think even a small golf cart to help with the trash cleanup would be a good future investment to see that this doesn't become a long-term issue.
Great. Thank you. So I'm going to take my chair hat off for a moment and then walk around and talk in the microphone proverbially here. But I'm 100% for keeping Morro Bay as absolutely clean as possible and for these litter pickups, et cetera. I don't think TBID should be paying for this. We're coming off the worst year for the hospitality industry in the history of tourism. Yes, TBID has a lot of funds right now, but those funds, like Chris said, are set aside for marketing. And out of responsibility for our members, VR hotels, honestly, I think the city should be paying for this. We pay into TOT. TOT funds, you know, it's a social contract to keep the city clean. The hotels are paying their fair share, and I don't think it's fair to put another expense on hotels right now. That's my thoughts. So any other comment on this item?
You know, I'm playing both sides of the fence on it because I see the enormous need of it. But also, like you're saying, Steve, even waterfront properties, you know, they pay leases on top of everything else that non-waterfront properties do. In real short math, about 5% of their gross sales. And on a year where you're losing money, paying another 5% on top of your gross sales is pretty difficult. So from that side, yes, I do believe the city should do it. At the same time, I know the city has their financial problems. So I agree with both. I would like to hear the consensus of the rest of the group.
Well, that's kind of why, you know, we prefaced earlier. I know the city's in a tough financial economic place. They're also getting a couple million dollars of stimulus coming in too, which should help. So, you know, everybody's hurting right now. I don't think there's any hoteliers that have been making money in this past year. So I just want to be cognizant of our members, and I personally don't think we should use TBID funds for this. But any other thoughts?
Jennifer? One question for Scott. Scott, and this is probably going to be a no, but with the stimulus funds that are coming in, every line item in the city budget has been hit by COVID. Depletion of revenue, one of your main revenue sources is TOT, obviously. And you have several special funds, as I understand it, including the Harbor Fund, which is based off of revenue, and the TBID Fund, which is based off of revenue generation, not off of special votes. Will those two funds be seeing, to your knowledge, has there been any discussion of those two funds receiving any stimulus money?
The money that comes to the city, I don't know what that feedback is, sorry, that's coming to the city is for the, you know, general purpose. Obviously, there's the restrictions, and we're still trying to understand, you know, what they can be used for. But yeah, there's nothing harbor specific. There may be utility relief coming because we know people who aren't able to pay their rent are probably unable to pay their water and sewer bill, probably unable to pay their phone bill, and unable to pay their gas and electric bill. So there may be something in the future that would address that. Currently, we're running a $300,000 or $400,000 deferred payment to the city from people who have been unable to pay water and sewer bills. And prior to COVID, that fund was like $15,000. Our Harbor Fund, like as Mr. Stack has stated, is dependent upon those rents. And we are probably $300,000 to $400,000 in arrears in terms of what a typical year would be. We usually make about 1.7 to 1.9 million in rents, so we're behind. We're doing through the budget process, the chair's point, right now, and, you know, we cut 12 positions from the budget. We found that we can't operate like that. We simply can't effectively operate and provide the services we told the committee we need to. So we're going through a process right now of like how we're going to be able to add back and build back slowly and better. Try to be more efficient, of course, but, you know, frankly, we are running too lean right now. We have a vacant consolidated maintenance position I probably won't be able to fill. So the part-time people are the way we're going to make it go. If this isn't approved, then I probably will hire another person, maybe one more. Because I have to be able to fund a police vacancy that I can't fund right now, a planning position to address all the permits that are coming through the city, an engineer vacancy so we can be able to turn around a capital improvement projects we can't do right now because we're short of people. So we'll make it work, whatever. We won't be able to enhance it as much as we'd hope to without the support of this recommendation.
It's such a difficult topic. And the only reason I initially and still am pro on this is, though I structurally, like Steve said, I don't like the idea of TBID money going to this. At the same time, I think it's probably the best return on investment that we can get from, if I take it from a pure business sense. So if Scott's saying that instead of hiring two people, he might just hire one person, or instead of hiring three, he's hiring two, if that's the downside, I think those funds spent to help ensure a clean waterfront at the same simultaneous time where we're going to probably have more visitors than ever. I think our day use is going to be ridiculous. That doesn't help DBID or the hoteliers or the Airbnbs with day use up. But for introducing ourselves to new customers coming into the city, if it's clean, then we retain them. And if it's not, we probably don't. Because they don't have the history to know how Morro Bay usually looks. This can be their first impression. And so from that standpoint, it's a great return on investment. And that's why I am still supporting it begrudgingly, because I don't think it is our place.
Right. And the point raised by you and Chair Allen are totally appropriate. You know, you had this discussion not just 2 months ago about the future TBID and, you know, do we want to spend money on projects or not? And there was clear consensus that no, you wanted to use those funds for marketing. And I encourage you to do that because I said it is the city's responsibility. What I'm telling you now is this is an anomaly for a year. And I hear that point about the stimulus money. The stimulus money really is to help, you know, replace the gap we currently have so that when the next emergency comes, we're able to survive, you know, whether it's an earthquake or tsunami or another round of COVID. We don't anticipate coming back to you all, the future you all, and saying, hey, you know, what about that $10,000 you gave us last year? You need to do it again. You know, that wouldn't be appropriate based on the direction you provided and where you want your TBID funds to go. So really, we're sort of looking at this as a stopgap measure. In every department, I'm going to build back slowly, right? And the Public Works Department is one of those. So without these funds, we'll still be able to build back. We just won't be building back as quickly. And that's okay. We have a job to do. We're going to do it. So I hope that helps, you know, in that regard.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. And just to clarify my position, I'm 100% that we need to keep the waterfront clean.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's just the more visitors we bring in, the more TOT we pay. So it seems like it should already be covered there, but we need to be so diligent in terms of protecting our expenses. You know, I guarantee you there's going to be a proposal to increase TOT coming sometime in the future. You know, the city is charging surcharges for water and sewer for commercial businesses already. It just doesn't, you know, personally, I think we're paying our fair share through TOT. I get it. It's hard economically for everybody involved, but to put more burden on hotels just doesn't seem fair for me personally. That's where I'm at. Terry?
I would just say I think we'd need to have a huge headline that this is a one-time emergency basis under COVID, but I would go to the concern that Chris raised, the clientele that we're trying to bring into Morro Bay. If we get them this summer, even a few, and they go back home and report, oh, it was nice, but there was trash lying around and it was not good, that escalates. And then we're going against what we're trying to do is market to that better clientele. So I think in order to support that and on this emergency basis only, and have a huge caveat that this is emergency basis COVID related, because I agree, TBID should only be doing marketing 100% and behind that. But again, just one time, the city really needs us to step up. I think that we could, you know, consider it for sure.
Look, there's 900 hotel rooms, 250 vacation rentals. They're going to be close to, I'm really knowledgeable with the numbers, with the exception of our anomaly year, right? So if we run 25% under what we have historically run, weekends will likely be very close to sold out from May 1 through September 1st, through the first weekend, the Labor Day, the Labor Day weekend in September, from Memorial Day to Labor Day at least. So we're talking about the lodging partners that we're talking about pouring every night on the weekends, Friday and Saturdays, about 3,500 guests into this town. And if you cross that over, that comes out to about, on this expenditure, about 3 or 4 cents per guest. And I think, if I still owned 456, or if I had a very nice product the way all of you do who are sitting here, my guests would want the extension of that product to continue out into the city. And I'm 100 have been for the 15 years I've been involved with this TBID for this money to be used for the marketing of our city. But if we start opening up our coffers and spend money on marketing this city for its natural beauty, and you get here and you have to step over piles of trash because our natural beauty is part of the birds, and one of those evil birds, the evildoer seagull, is spreading the trash everywhere. But I think we have, we don't have mixed messaging, but we have an, oh no, here comes the seagull. And yeah, you know, the occasional tourist is going to get pooped on by the seagull and those things are going to happen. That's going to spoil their visit. But we don't want trash to be the spoiler. And for one summer, I'm okay with this $10,000 expenditure, but I want to be very clear that I am convoluted about the legality of this expenditure. I am concerned that it would set a precedent, and I do want it to be very, I don't know how to frame it, but I do want it to be very much framed that this is because of the crisis with COVID, and I would like the city to do a couple of things, which is, one, to come up with a trash can to table matrix for outside seating. And the second one is, take this $10,000 and divide it by the number of folks who are having that outside seating. How many tables are down there? Is it 1,000 tables? If it is, then this expenditure should be covered by those additional tables. In other words, is there some way to add this expenditure for future years onto the back of restaurant business licensing or some other way to do it so that it doesn't necessarily hit you, Scott, on the general fund, but comes out in a creative and positive way where the businesses that are causing, the businesses whose guests are causing the impact, and especially for day visitors, then are footing that bill. So I'm okay with this expenditure just once, as long as it's legal, and I'm hoping that the attorney has weighed in on that. And then secondly, I'd like to see those, some type of, you know, matrix planning. I would love a trash can to outdoor seating ratio, and then some type of sustainable future funding mechanism. And I actually am either willing to say a portion go to purchasing the golf cart, which I see as a permanent solution instead of just throwing, you know, part-time staff at it when we're busy, but the golf cart's a permanent solution for year-round for festivals and all kinds of stuff. So there you go. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, to answer your legal question, I mean, I think it's really up to the board to decide that, you know, if it's a worthy expense, if it connects into marketing, and I think Chris has made the argument that it does. The golf cart would be a stretch, I think, to its equipment. It's equipment is equipment, right? And I think I would have a hard time having to T-bid buy city property, right, or equipment, so. But I understand what you're saying, and I think we're just going to have to find a way to make that work in our budget, because it could be, like you said, something that we have for several years, 5 to 10 years, you know. So I wouldn't be comfortable with TBID funding that.
So if there's no other board comment, do we want to open it up for public comment? AGP, are there anyone in the queue?
Yes, sir. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my mic. And there is somebody. Just a moment. And Sean Green, you're on here.
Thanks, TBID. Hopefully you can hear me all right. I wanted to bring up a couple points that points of clarity. Councilmember Jeff Heller is working with a group called EcoReps, which may even be interested in kind of moving forward with a more of a master planning approach to trash collection on the waterfront, which I think is hopefully a step in the right direction, but that would probably be fall at the earliest. Second point of clarity, to use Giovanni's and Harborhead as a model, I think would be a huge mistake. It seems they've taken kind of the route where they fill open space and public access ways with tables rather than trash enclosures. So it makes it really difficult for even able-bodied people to walk along the waterfront, much less someone in a wheelchair. So, but I do think there are certain components that could be used to our advantage. I think that Steve, board member Allen makes a really good point that, you know what, I speaking for myself, I was the biggest champion out of anyone on the tourism board to support any kind of infrastructure improvements, only to have that be kind of turned down and say we're supposed to be doing marketing only, and this is far from it. And I think to pin this on COVID, I think is really missing the boat. That if you guys do end up giving the city money, I think the headline should not be COVID related. It should be that TBID is bailing out the city in some small way, because that's kind of what's happening. TBID is an enterprise fund that uses our own money to self-sustain. Just like the Harbor Fund is an enterprise fund, the TBID fund is not insolvent. The Harbor Fund is going that direction. And again, I just think that, you know, you've seen, you know, most of the board members have probably seen the pattern that, you know, TBID used to get $120,000 per year from the city. Then that was reduced to $60,000 as kind of a one-time thing. And then that was reduced from $60,000 to zero as a one-time thing. And now that zero is going to be negative $10,000 if this is approved. I know you're in a really tough spot, because I think the expected value angle is a much better way to look at this rather than a principled one, because on principle it seems like we should say no to this $10,000. To Joan's point regarding the golf cart, I think is a really good one, and I would be much more okay with a purchase of a golf cart that says morrobay.org or at Morro Bay on the side of it, as well as trashed enclosures that say morrobay.org or at Morro Bay, and that way we might maybe own them and lease them out or rent them out or borrow them out to the city. So that's my two cents. You have a tough decision.
Thank you, Sean. Any other public comment? I'm sorry, AGP, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm still having trouble with my mic, and there is nobody else in the queue with the hand raised right now.
Okay. Thank you for that. It's in your hands, board.
Real quick, Sean really summed it up. I agree with him on principle. I'm not crazy about it. On a practical standpoint, we need it so bad. So badly that, and I don't see how we as a tourism board can make it happen outside the city. That practically would help this summer. I think this is the key summer. So, that being said, I'm a guy who usually stands really strong in his principles, but I'm not going to this time, and I'm going to do it just solely out of the need for this coming summer.
So are you making a motion, Chris?
Yes, I'll make a motion that we approve to send to City Council TBID's involvement in the upcoming trash collection period with a, that's not a gift, a TBID funds of $10,000 for that purpose.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Terry. If there's not further discussion, all in favor?
I have further discussion. Sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead, John.
Yep, I have further discussion. Is there any, you know what? I want to thank Sean. He did sum it up very well. You're right. I see what you're saying about trash enclosures with morbay.org or something that guides folks back to what we've funded here. And maybe that is as simple as something that says visitor information. I don't know how the city would do that, how we would do that. Or the golf cart, in the future golf cart saying visit morbay.org or something like that. Is that something the city might be amenable to, Scott?
I think so. I'd have to put it to council. I guess the immediacy is that we need bodies. So, but we can definitely look into that.
Yeah, and that to me is the city's way of supporting the effort to pay for this funding or to get this funding paid back, because it's driving revenue to the point it's getting customers aware of how to purchase a vacation in Morbay. So that would be my only suggestion in my discussion. I'm okay with this. I'm not excited about this. I'm okay with it. So I'm done.
Any other discussion on the motion? So are we ready to vote? Okay, so why don't we raise hands so we all know where everyone's at. All in favor of the motion? 4, and then opposed? Okay, motion passes. Well, I do want to congratulate everybody. This is first time in many months we've gone over an hour for our TBID meeting. Kind of like the old days. Okay, item B4, update on the Morbay Tourism TBID conversion process and consideration of proposal for transition support services. Scott?
That is a mouthful. Thank you, Chair Allen. So we're recommending that the TBID board receive the TBID conversion process updates and provide input on the proposed scope of work for transition support service by Michael Wamble. The fiscal impact of the two kind of proposals in one would be $40,000 for the TBID fund for fiscal year 2021. As was identified in the first discussion this morning, there is sufficient budget in this year's budget to absorb those expenses. I don't need to go into a long discussion about the conversion process. You've all been a part of it. Since the time of that direction and support by City Council, we've been working together as a subcommittee of Chair Allen and member Solu and myself, and we onboarded Civitas to provide that lead consultant support on the legal and new board construction component. They specialize in these conversion processes and provide that support to a number of TBIDs. And I've been really effective in really kind of thinking through the big picture and the timeline. But ultimately, as we found, and this is a testament to Ms. Solo and her experience of having to kickstart this, and also my discussions with Chuck Davison, the CEO of Visit SoCal, there's a lot of other pieces involved in making that transition successful. Those are kind of boots on the ground level. Again, Civitas is going to provide the framework, the legal guidance, the bylaws for the new board, but there are a lot of other pieces that they don't do. And frankly, your city manager doesn't have time for, and neither does Taylor have the expertise. So, thankfully, in my discussions with several people, there was a recommendation to reach out to Mr. Wemble, who has been in the industry for nearly 20 years. And in my discussion with him, he was really helpful in guiding my thinking that, you know, these kind of major events, whether it's COVID or 9/11 or whatever, seem to happen on 10-year cycles. And so he's been involved through the ups and downs in the industry, and has great insight in terms of what creating a new entity looks like, as he was a part of the team for Visit SoCal when it started and ran all the way up to 2020 until COVID hit, and he was leading the international marketing from the team then. So what we are proposing to do is bring Michael on to support two functions. One is to do the signature gathering for the petition. We have to achieve a 50% mark of 50% revenue between the hotel owners and vacation rental owners to initiate the process to complete the legal conversion, which Civitas will guide us through. So we are proposing a base rate of $4,000 to get Michael on board to support that, and then incentives for signatures gathered up to a total of $10,000 maximum for that effort. And we believe that work will be completed by mid-April. And then there's the sort of on-the-ground process to do the transition. And again, Masolu was really helpful in kind of guiding my thinking on this, is the easy button. You know, we can try to create everything today and try to guess as to what's going to be needed July 1st and hand everything off to somebody and be like, good luck. Or we can think about this as a transition. That being, you know, the city's still going to be involved, of course. We may not be running things, but we're still here. Taylor's still here. This board probably will be the same board, you know, at least temporarily as we make this move. And so we need somebody who's going to be part on both sides. And that's where we think Michael can be really helpful to oversee in combination with Civitas, the legal transition, to come up with a marketing plan per the discussion that Mr. Costeca brought up earlier. So like, how do we think about the fall? Well, if we got to start thinking about it now, right? We can't wait till July and then do the recruitment process for an executive director and bring somebody on. It's going to be fall then. It's going to be too late. So how do we develop a marketing plan now? Strategic plan. We have a strategic plan that I think everybody wants to throw out. Based on our discussions last summer with the stakeholder group, we said, look, we need to pivot away from being a value destination only. That's going to take a lot of work, right? It's not just hoteliers. That's business owners. It's retailers. It's restaurateurs. That's the city. So we really need somebody to help kind of guide that process. And then there's policies for the new board. There's HR rules. There's onboarding an attorney to help this new TBID. There's, you know, workers' comp and who's going to do payroll, all that stuff. So it's really important to have somebody who's gone through that to help in that. And also, you know, our contract with Mental Marketing runs out on June 30th. And I would say it's wise to conduct a RFP process to look at both them and other proposals for the new board. And that does take time and some expertise and other related tasks that we haven't foreseen yet. But some of them have been identified in meetings here before. I think Chris brought up a couple of good ones earlier today. So we think it'd be really helpful to have somebody of Michael's expertise and skill set. Also on the ground knowledge, he knows a lot of our hoteliers already from his work in SoCal. So that sets him up well to do the signature gathering and do that quickly and get us moving on to the legal process to complete this in time for July 1st. And then really just to start thinking, laying the groundwork for the next board to be really successful and be able to launch. However we can launch with COVID, of course, in mind, but a lot of the pieces will be in place, like Steve said, about having things ready to go when the moment we're allowed to go. It's not then having to go off and create it. It's already created and ready to hit the go button. So with that in mind, we strongly recommend the support for the contract and scope of work contract with Michael. Me and the attorney will work out, make sure we have all the legal end buttoned up and insurance and all the other stuff that goes with those contracts. But we're looking for high-level support from TBID
got, can I interrupt? Can we ask Michael to maybe just introduce himself?
Yeah, I was going to do that.
About himself? Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, Michael looks like you're on the set of Indiana Jones with that rope bridge behind you.
It's in my living room. It reminds me of my travel days and where I like to go in my off time. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Allen and Board of Directors. Michael Womble here. Previously a Visit SoCal. A little bit of history of me. I think you have my resume, but started my travel days working for Contiki in Europe. Took a tour there. Got hired off the tour. I lived in Amsterdam, Paris, and Hofgarten, Austria. After that, I was in Amsterdam during 9/11. That changed the scope of international travel. My parents retired to the Central Coast. I have an affinity for Morro Bay. My grandma and aunt lived here for a very long time. We had a vacation rental or a vacation house for us up in Cambria. I worked at the Seacrest Oceanfront Hotel in Pismo Beach for well over 10 years, starting at the front desk when I came back and moved to director of sales. As Scott alluded to, my first director of sales position was in 08 as the world was crashing around us during the financial issue that happened at that time. Then after my stint there, I opened up the Spring Hill Suites in Atascadero as a director of sales, going through all of Marriott's protocols for training. Then I was lucky enough to be essentially courted, if you will, by Chuck Davidson, President and CEO of Visit SoCal, where I spent the next 4 years doing domestic, international sales efforts and marketing efforts for the county at that time. And then, of course, COVID-19 hit a year ago, and my position and need was not needed anymore, much in the DMO space. We saw that across the board. And so a lot of questions I get asked, what have I been doing in the last year or so? Well, I took a lot of time to kind of travel the United States, kind of figure out if this is the place I want to stay, and absolutely it is. Spent a lot of time with my parents. They were in COVID protocol for the last 9 months. They just took a trip to San Diego outside of their house and outside of the bubble for the first time, so I spent a lot of time with them. I did a lot of, I did some volunteering with Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers. I spent a lot of my time outdoors, hiking, activities, mountain biking, those type of things. And so I was really able to take kind of this last year to kind of reset off of all of the work we did at SoCal for the last 4 years. I think you're aware of the success that we had there. I was a part of the renewal process for Visit SoCal, getting petition signatures, and I was also on the leadership team for all the strategic directions that Visit SoCal had produced over the last 4 years to start, and then the last strategic plan right before COVID hit and the renewal started. I love hotels, I love travel, it's what I do, and that's why I'm in this. And so I'm here to hopefully be support for you guys, part of this transition period. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to meet you virtually.
Pleasure.
Board, any questions for Michael?
Michael, a quick question on that. Is it my understanding, and hi, by the way, I've known Michael for a while, and he's actually was very helpful when Cindy and I acquired the Asterowin, just informing us of how little we knew, and that was nice, I do appreciate that. But is it my understanding that you were recommended by Chuck Davidson to us?
I believe Scott can speak to that, but yes, I was correct.
What was the question? Sorry, Chris.
Was I recommended by Chuck Davidson?
Oh, well, yeah, Chuck did recommend Michael, you know, based on a conversation I had with him several weeks ago, just trying to understand, you know, from Chuck's vantage point, how to get this done, and he threw out a couple names, and Michael was... Michael's somebody that I knew prior to and had confidence that he would understand Morro Bay and also be effective based on his experience sort of creating Visit SoCal chart.
Right. Well, you know, I can speak to, I know there's some complexities of the transition and the chicken and the egg situation and hiring a new executive director. Scott has been wonderful during this transition process. But again, Scott is... Some days he's chief of police and some days he's head of public works and he's got a lot on his plate. And so, you know, as a chair of TBID, it would relieve a lot of my anxiety to get somebody like Michael in there to kind of guide us through this process. Anyone else have any questions, comments for Michael? Joan?
Just board on the back side of this, Steve and Scott and I have been casting this hook for a couple of months now about when we onboard somebody, when we bring somebody on, when and how will that moment be most helpful to us. Well, as time ticks away, you can see that there's a lot to be done, not only in terms of signature gathering. And we as a group, I'm looking at all of your faces right now, I don't think any single one of us has the bandwidth to go out and do the work that needs to be done. We don't have the time and obviously expertise to, you know, sit down and go face to face with 250 vacation rentals and 37 hoteliers and, you know, see what their thinking is on this whole thing. So I very much think now is the time, and now is when we need to do it. And Michael is a perfect person. He's a great catch for us. We couldn't be more fortunate. And in some ways, I know, sorry, Michael, to say that COVID, you know, moved you out of your position at SloCal, but that's Morobe's benefit, right? So you're available, and we need someone, and the timing couldn't be more perfect for us. So we're grateful that you have a willingness to come on board with us, or at least I am, and I hope the whole board is here in a few seconds. I hope we get to a vote and get to a yes.
Perfect. Amish or Terry, any thoughts?
I would just say I was really impressed by your resume. Looks like you've got a lot of the tools that you need. I guess if I had one question, it would be how much time have you actually spent on long periods of time in Morro Bay? How well do you know Morro Bay in particular?
Great. So I think the first memory I have of Morro Bay is camping at the state park with my parents when I was 4 or 5 years old. We've been coming up to the area on and off. It's been one of the destinations that my both sets of parents, I will say, always spend time in. Having my grandparents here through elementary school, junior high, high school, coming up, seeing them. So I've got a long history of coming to this area, especially Morro Bay. We weren't a Pismo Beach style. I grew up down in Valencia, so I was kind of northern LA County. As far as recently goes, with SloCal, I spent a lot of time with the previous sales manager selling Morro Bay, and then with the history, being Morro Bay is a great competitor for our neighbors to the north and south, our Santa Barbara's and the Monterey's of the world. And so I've positioned Morro Bay as that place to get away from on the international side. Although international is slipping a little bit at the moment, it will come back eventually. We're looking more regionally. But I have spent years and years and years in Morro Bay, and I've always loved it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Amish, any questions?
No questions.
Actually, I have one question for you, Michael. On one of your deliverables, it says that you were looking to get a 70% signature rate for vacation rentals and hotels on the petition to move over to a 5-year T-bid and start this whole thing up. Morro Bay is an interesting town, and folks are really, passionate on one side of issue or another. And I guess the big question is, how are you going to overcome the folks who are passionate to not move forward with this so that you can express, I guess, how do you express the value to them in order to bring them over? Is because we are going to have those folks, and quite a few of them, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting process on this because through the renewal process that we had before when we were doing renewals with SloCal, we started a strategic plan. We had a lot of history to show them. We had some direction coming out of that. So I'm going to need to formulate a little bit on what this looks like for them moving forward, especially as we're going into negotiations essentially with with the lodging community and make sure that they have the confidence in where the money's going and that spending. I think that also starts with relationships, being out with the partners and hearing their voices to understand that. I'm not sure if that's something that was happening prior, but that's something that I take pride in, is being there for them. And then always being available as well. Understanding that the steps for this process are going to be really fast. We've got essentially less than a month to try to get our petitions in, and then we've got to do a mail out in 45 days. So we've got to develop some talking points for them to understand where this is headed. And I believe in research, and I also believe in strategic planning. So I think a lot of that's going to go into understanding what the research is coming out of this pandemic and how we're going to be moving forward out of these pieces. And utilizing, with the help of SoCal, because they do head the research side of that, but then also making sure the partners understand there's going to be steps to our strategic plan. Hopefully we can get that thing launched before July so we can get the boots running in July, starting July. I got to formulate the kind of the timing on that. There's a lot of sequential work that'll happen, but I'm confident that I understand the destination enough to be able to speak to vacation rentals, to bed and breakfast, and also to hoteliers to understand the importance of what the TBID is and where that ultimately leads back to their bottom dollar.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, John. Any other questions, comments for Michael? Do we need public comment on this, Heather?
Yes.
Okay. If there's no further board comment, AGP, is there any public comment?
No, sir. Not at this time.
Thank you. Any board member want to make a motion?
support
the use of funds, and the city will take it from there. We just need to know
okay
to use the $40,000 to do the signature gathering and transition services.
Great. So I move that we use $40,000 of TBID fund to expend $40,000 in TBID funds for transition services and the onboarding of a contractor to help us with that effort.
Thank you, Joan. Do we have a second? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
A second.
Thank you, Terry. And further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Congratulations. Thank you. Welcome, Michael.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to this. I can't believe it. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Look forward to working with you.
Look forward to working with all of you. I'm going to stay on because it sounds like you guys are talking about some marketing after this. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, item B5, search engine marketing strategy and social influencer proposal review.
And I don't know what any of this means. So hopefully Michael can tell me what it means. I'm just kidding, sort of. So we're recommending
that was
this
fast.
the ink isn't dry yet.
Between Taylor and Michael, we have a dream team already. So we're recommending to the board is review the mental marketing search engine marketing strategy and social influencer proposal and provide recommendations on moving forward with them to conduct that campaign. Of course, this is all short term, given that we will be out of contract with them on the 30th of June and the transitions that's occurring. This is about trying to find that happy medium that we discussed earlier. We believe this would result in about a $36,000 impact to the TBID fund. As mentioned earlier, a sufficient budget this year to cover those costs. We wouldn't have to do any kind of appropriation. With COVID-19 conditions improving, declining case rates, and improvement in the vaccination rates and also moving to less restrictive tiers, we think it's about time to reconsider marketing. As you all recall, back in, I think it was November, we had brought forward a similar proposal from Mental Marketing, and, you know, within a couple of weeks, we're back into the regional stay-home order. So we never moved forward with this. So in a lot of ways, this is just really resuming this effort or beginning this effort, primarily around search engine maximization. So that's, you know, things like Google AdWords spend and social media ad budget, and having sort of a continual effort. In the past, we would do this all the time with mental marketing. Certainly would ramp up at different times of the year. And so this is a much more modified version of what we used to do with them. But again, it's really around making sure when people look up Morro Bay, you know, it's us that gets found, or other Central Coast Adventures. We're one of the top hits and not on the second page or below the fold. And again, we're trying to target people from the north and south. This goes back to the strategic initiatives that our task force said, hey, you know, let's see if we can pull folks from other markets to come here. And then this is a word, I don't know what it means, target lookalikes. Perhaps Michael can explain what that is. So there's two proposals, distinct proposals here. One is that search engine maximization strategy, which is the Google AdWords, the social media, and then the expenses related to that. It would run from March, the end of March through June 30th of 2021. And then Mental Marketing is teamed up with folks to help bring in social influencers. These are people who have a lot of followers on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, hundreds of thousands of followers. And so they come to a town, they enjoy some of the more unique factors of a destination. Clearly the rock and the bay and the beach will be a part of it, but they can also go a little deeper. In essence, just take photos and videos of their experience, and then they turn that back out to their followers, and hopefully a lot of their followers come here. And you try to get a good blending of different types of influencers, because they have different followers, and then you can start to see a different visitor come to Morro Bay. At least that's the theory. And so what they provided three different options, like having one influencer per month, two or three. And of course the costs go up depending on the number. And at this point, again, we're not trying to overdo it. I think it's important to dip our toes and not go full-fledged. So we're recommending the lower end, which would be one influencer per month. So we basically kind of cover their expenses while they're here and a little bit more. And then there's a mental marketing fee associated with that. So I did the math, which is kind of scary, and I came up with about $36,000 if we went with the SEM strategy and the lower end social influencer budget. Again, trying to have it both ways. The nice thing about social influencers is that, you know, that has more of a viral opportunity through that influencer, and we can be more pick and choosy about which influencer we're trying to target based on the demographics of their followers. And it's pretty cool, and those kind of have spin-off rewards, because we can utilize the content they create for future campaigns for ourselves. So it has a longer lifespan. So I know half of what I spoke to you about, so hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about. And I think, again, it's important that we start this effort. We start small and sort of build as we bring Michael on and work with Taylor and Mental to think kind of long picture, and then also go out and do the RFP for a new ad agency. So happy to entertain any questions you have, and of course looking for a good discussion here with the board.
100% agree. Thank you, Scott. And I can just add that, you know, in the now 2 hours since we've been in this meeting, I've literally got about 20 emails from the likes of Visit SLO, Visit California, Visit Santa Cruz, Visit Central Oregon. So these groups are advertising. Now, Michael, did you want to piggyback on anything Scott reported?
Yeah, hopefully you can hear me. I think my AirPods might have just died. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I got one that just died. So Lookalike Audience is just an audience that is kind of developed that fits our demographics and what we're looking for. So it's basically people who the marketing agency or digitally pulling from pixels and different methods fit the profile for the traveler that we're looking for on a digital sense. So that would be a social piece in those. As far as marketing at the moment, I do think dipping the toes, I think there is a little sea of change happening at the moment. I've got to kind of dive a little bit further into where a lot of pieces are right now. I have been out of the game a little bit, but I can catch up pretty quickly. But I do believe at least doing some SEO and that type of stuff at the moment to help bolster what I think wave is coming for summer is worthwhile. As far as social influencers, although I like social influencers, vetting those people can be a little bit difficult, and we'll lean on the ad agency, some mental marketing, to deliver kind of a portfolio of what those look like and what that reach is for us and really what the audience of Morro Bay is looking for. So I'd have to look a little bit more, but I think on the social media or the social influencer side should be a little more ad hoc. The first portion of this, I think, is probably worthwhile to do some leading in at this time. I think there is time to spend at the moment. Not full-fledged, because I think we're going to be going into a strategic direction and new planning and those pieces, but leading into summer, and especially we're leading into spring break right now, and that middle period between spring and summer is a worthwhile time to see kind of where the audience is at the moment and start building some more awareness for us.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Chris, you had a comment?
Something interesting on that social media angle, because I'm a lot less. Scott is talking there. It's all beyond me. You guys can't hear me?
Barely. Okay? Cutting in and out.
Huh. Okay, you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. There's a gentleman I follow because I'm a mountain biker. I didn't know you did that, Michael, and he only has like 4,000 followers, but he did a piece on our came and stayed and did a piece riding around here. And now at our hotel, more times than not, I see bikes on the racks of the cars in our parking lot. So it works, and that's a small time social media. So I think the right people, like Michael's saying, can have a huge influence if we're target marketing a certain clientele.
Yeah. Great. Joan?
I'm curious, Michael. I've never been bullish on Google AdWords spend, because you spend with the Google AdWords, and the second you stop spending, all that effort disappears. In other words, it's just turned off. And so I'm wondering how you would feel about us maybe increasing the social media budget and then decreasing that Google AdWords spend, if you think that would be a better value for us.
I'm not.
Because we're coming out of flight.
Yeah, I need a little bit more research, so I need to set up a meeting with Mental Marketing, and I've known them for a long time as well, to kind of understand the full scope. I did have a look at this proposal. On the social media side, I think you get a little bit more reach in real time, where AdWords, a lot of times you're spending against other spends, where on the social media side, I think you have an ability to have a faster return and a social sentiment delivered to people in real time. AdWords is if they're looking for you and you get to the top of the list piece. So, yeah, I'd have to take a little bit of time to look at that, but I do like the social media side off the top of my head at the moment.
Yeah, good question, John. I mean, I think, you know, we could approve sort of generically what's here, and if Michael and Taylor and I work with Mental, like, hey, let's tone down the ads and bump up the social media. We have flexibility to do that if you just sort of prove the high level.
Okay, so you're looking for something that carries the overall amount and then there's flexibility inside of that amount.
Correct.
What's listed here under recommended SEM strategy, that's not, it's not stag, it's not locked.
It's not. If you're like, you know, that's way too much money or way too little, that's kind of the input we need, but it's also helpful to know that, again, Michael knows and Taylor knows better, like, you know, how this all works. So I think there's still room for us to play if you give us that broad guidance.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody feel comfortable enough to make a motion based on that?
Yeah, hearing that, I think we do need to get back in the game. I heard that today from Amish, and I've heard it from Terry, and I've heard it from Chris, and I've heard it from Steve. So, you know, there isn't anybody here who would be surprised that a marketing board is spending money on marketing, right? So I'll move that we approve the amount in the staff report, $36,000 to create a program to get Morro Bay back into marketing our community.
I'm sorry, Heather's already got
public comment.
Yes, let's open it up. AGP, is there any public comment?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second.
Good.
We've got a first from Joan, a second from Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Well, that's what the TBIT's here for, is marketing. So we're off to the races here. Declaration of future agenda items. Anyone have anything?
I think you're worn out after this meeting.
It's kind of nice.
I would ask that, Scott, in these next few months, can you give us a report, the general part on the trash and what the plan is going forward? You know, when the boots are on the ground and are you doing golf cart and those type of things?
Yeah, we'll make that a point to maybe part of the intro discussion. But if there's more meaty stuff, we can always create an agenda item for that too. But
not an agenda, it's something we bring up, as long as that our money's in there for the next 3 months.
Yes, sir.
Any other future items?
I had one question, and will mental marketing also give an update monthly? Starting now,
we can request them to do that. They're usually pretty amenable to doing that. I know it's been a while, but we can run that up with Marianne.
Okay, great. Any other future items? Well, seeing none, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. It's 11:12. Thank you all for your participation, and we will see you soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.